Good evening. Certainly good to everybody out tonight. You know, put that microphone right in front of that Bible and we won't hit it again tonight. Title of the lesson is Selling Your Soul, referring to Judas. But what's interesting is where it starts. Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah is the second book from the end of the Old Testament, going backward. Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai. Zechariah 11, verse 12 and 13. Haggai, you know, they come back from captivity, 70 years in captivity. Jeremiah said they'll be back. They're back. They have money to build a temple. 16 years have passed. They ain't built no temple. They built the foundation. They built themselves fancy, luxurious homes with the Lord's house. Who cares? So Haggai shows up and he starts telling them why they're not profiting. Then Zechariah shows up for a longer period of time and you see God revealing where this is going, and it's not going anywhere good. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. And I said to them, if it's good in your sight, give me my wages. But if not, never mind. Do we have a deal or not here? Give me my money, or we're going to call it off. Continuing on in verse 12. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Yeah, so you have knowledge of the New Testament. They didn't have that. 520 years before the birth of Christ, another 30 years, and, you know, it adds up. Almost six generations. We're laying the pieces out where we're going. Israel is gone. Verse 13, then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. I mean, they thought Jesus was worth 30 pieces of silver. That's all they thought he was worth. That's what they paid. They didn't need to pay no more. Lord, you know, that magnificent price. I'm really impressed at that. Continued on in 13. So it took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now that's, you know, real oddity. You're giving them to the potter, but you throw them into the house of the Lord. Well, you and I know what that means, but you go to Matthew 26. Verse 14 through 16, and we see the deal is being consummated. It's done. 26 verse 14, Matthew 26 verse 14. Then one of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me to deliver him up to you? It is common knowledge what their intentions were. Judas knew it. He knew there was money to be made. So what's the price here? Let's haggle on. How much will you give me to do it? The middle of verse 15, and they weighed out to him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray him. You know, you've been with Jesus 3 years. You've seen him do miracles and feed and heal and raise people from the dead. And you're looking for a good opportunity to betray him. Are you in your right mind? You know, but to do what he did, you know, you've got to be far gone. In 26, verse 45 through 50, what's amazing, not only is God stating his plan in Zechariah, he's going to state it elsewhere, but Jesus knows what's coming too. 26, 45. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is being betrayed into hands of sinners. I mean, in sinners' hands. I mean, there's no telling what these people are going to do. I mean, these are just bad people. And it's at hand. And you guys have no idea where this is going. That the hour of betrayal is happening. Verse 46, arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a great multitude with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. They knew about the power of God, power of Jesus. I mean, they got a great multitude. They don't have just a few people. They have a lot of people. And they got clubs. And man, we're going to take this one man, and he's not going to be able to resist. Verse 48, now he who was betraying him gave him a sign saying, whomever I shall kiss, he's the one, seize him. I mean, how much conscience did you have? He has a conscience. Sometimes it's harder to prick it But he's going to walk up and kiss Jesus, and that's the sign, you know, of betrayal. Verse 48, now he was betraying him, gave him a sign saying, whomever I shall kiss, he's the one, seized him and immediately went to Jesus and said, hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, do what you have come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. All of this has to be worked out. Jesus' part's in it. That's just his part. Do what you have to do. Let's just move it along. You're just playing your role. I'm playing mine. You know, but Matthew 27, verse 3, betraying innocent blood, point number two, has consequences. You just don't get off scot-free by betraying innocent blood here. And Pilate agrees finally to deliver him up. And verse 3, then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Once he was condemned, he never thought that out. I mean, you couldn't follow Jesus for 3 years and not have some attachment to him, some appreciation to him. Where did he think this was going? Darkness, spiritual darkness. I mean, you do something and have no idea the consequences of it. And he felt remorse. He did have some feeling about things. And he returned the money. But you know, it doesn't end there. You know, you don't know what the world's like. Verse 4, saying, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. You got the centurion saying he's innocent. You got a thief on the cross saying he's innocent. Judas saying he's innocent. I betrayed innocent blood here. I mean, there was no good cause for this, what I've done. But they said, what is that to us? Say to that yourself. The world doesn't care. When you're in trouble, they may be the cause of getting you in trouble, but nobody cares when you get in trouble, even though you were doing their bidding. Politicians, they'll dump you faster than anybody. Nobody cares. You foolish enough to carry it out for them, do their bidding and wishes? Good. We got it accomplished. But who cares about you? Saying, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood, but they said, what is that to us? See to that yourself. So now he's all alone. I mean, Jesus could have been his Savior. Could have been his friend. And now he feels remorse and he knows what he's done. And it was no excuse for betraying innocent blood. It's one thing to kill a bad person alongside the road. It's another thing to betray innocent blood. Verse 5, was it worth it? And he threw the piece of silver into the sanctuary and departed and went away and hanged himself. How can you walk with Jesus for 3.5 years and never get any message of hope or future forgiveness? Or watch out for, he heard the Sermon on the Mount, y'all shall not murder. It doesn't start there. It starts with other motives that ends up there. He heard that. But he wasn't listening. He had other agendas and he was one of the 12 and he had his role to play. But he hangs himself without any hope. You know, verses 6 through 10, now the chief priests and elders, they're concerned about legalities. I mean, what's right here? They just had Jesus put to death, trumped up charges. In verse 6, and the chief priest took the sixth of the piece of silver and said, it is not lawful to put them in the temple treasury since it is the price of blood. They paid the price of blood. But, oh, we can't take that and put it in the treasury, the contribution plate. That's tainted money. Is it law? Is it not lawful? They're all concerned about the law. You know, that's what's so deceptive about the world and the devil. You got these two different levels of games being played. The show, the innocent part, where all the time we're doing the other side, playing the other side too. Verse 7, and they counseled together and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Yeah, who's this guy Judas? Who cares? You know, we went out to the potter's field where they throw all the broken pieces, rejected vases and stuff. But that's what Zechariah said was going to happen. Verse 8, for this reason that field's been called the field of blood to this day. That's the writing of Matthew, 20-something years later. Yeah, everybody knows about that field. That's where that guy betrayed Jesus ended up. Verse 9, then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me. You know, Lord's controlling all that. Yeah. Jeremiah said it too, not only Zechariah. Oh, and we're going to see later, David said it too. Spelling out about this fellow named Judas. And you know, and the price at the end of verse 9 had been set with the sons of Israel. Jimmy Carter, the ex-president, said Israel didn't kill Jesus. You know, that was probably stated for political reasons. But you know what? Jeremiah said, sons of Israel did it. You know, they bought the field. And, you know, you come over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. And, you know, and they got to replace Judas. He was one of the apostles, and they need 12. And so they're discussing that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 16, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. I mean, David had something to say in the Psalms about this. And the scripture has to be fulfilled. It wasn't written down for no reason about what was to come. This was the will of the Lord. This was the way it will work out. And we have to do it that way. Verse 17. For he was counted among us and received his portion in this ministry. He was one of the 12. He wasn't an imposter. He was selected by Jesus, knowing what his role would be. 18. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed down. It don't make no difference to Judah at that point. You know, you die lost. Your spirit and soul are already in eternity in the wrong place. And you don't have no control of what happens to you after death. Nobody cares about Judas. They just let him hang out there. He hanged himself, and just left him there. Till it rotted and he broke, rope and he fell. And, you know, selling your soul, it can end up in a horrible, disgraceful way if you're not careful. Verse 19, and it came known to all who were living in Jerusalem. So that in their own language, that field was called Hakadama. That is the field of blood. Verse 20, for it's written in the books of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate. And let no man dwell in it. Since everybody knew it's the field of blood, nobody's going to, you know, build a house next door. And so his home place is going to be desolate. The Lord, how does the Lord know those things? And how does he control all of that? Easily. In verse 20, in his office, let another man take. We're going to replace him as an apostle. And so in Psalms, we're spelling out in detail where we're going. You know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, this was predictable. You know, past patterns of life. I mean, God chose Pharaoh. God knew the man. He raised him up so he could show his power. He knew the guy would be reluctant to let the people go. He would fight it and fight it. Even though he said he's going to let it go, he can't let it go. God raised him up to show the power of God. You know, and he asked Israel, is anything wrong with me showing mercy to you and pardoning him? I can do what I want to do. Y'all don't want to argue about that. In John 12, Mary has bust open a costly perfume and she's wiping the feet of Jesus with it. And Judas is standing there with the rest of the apostles, verse 4. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, oh, John just spelled it out. You know, here's where the guy was going. I'm just telling you about these things. He was intending to do it. Verse 5, why, and Judas is saying this, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Oh, it sounds wonderful. The guy is concerned for the poor. And today, All these people concerned for the poor, but in their charities want. I mean, are they driving these fancy cars and they got these luxurious suites? And we care for the poor. 300 denarii. The denarii is a day's pay. If you work 6 days a week, that's a year's pay. Can you imagine coming home and you make $50,000 a year? And you find out your wife gave $50,000 to a charity down here to feed the homeless down in St. Louis. That's a year's pay. She's poured out a year's pay. It's a lot of money. And Judas is saying, whoa, 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 we could have used that money elsewhere, especially to help the poor. Verse 6. Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. John adds a side note about Judas. The guy was a thief the whole time. Jesus let him carry the money box. And he's pilfering from the money box of the Lord. Where's he going to spend it at? Where's he going to go? Maybe it was his retirement plan. But he's been pilfering. John says he was pilfering the whole time. He was a petty thief. That's all he was. With the opportunity to become a big time thief. For a lot more money. He'd ever seen in his whole life. 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed an innocent man. And then there were consequences that he never thought out. That they would condemn Jesus, the Son of God. They would put his friend to death. Oh, and he'd done wrong and he had no hope. So he hung himself. Life wasn't worth living now. It all come crumbling down. It seemed such a good plan. But he had no clue spiritually. That he had a conscience. That his conscience would bother him. He hadn't been bothering by pilfering from the money box, but he kept pilfering. But many betrayed an innocent man. Even thieves have consciences. They don't stumble so much about themselves. And there it is. You know, and Jesus came to give hope, eternal life, that give you hope in the midst of all your trials so that you don't do anything irrational. And then if something befalls you, you still live. Eternal. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's good news for everybody. He has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he has disbelieved shall be condemned. You know, you can choose to leave this life anytime you want. You can take your own life. But that's a life without faith, without hope. Sometimes you have to struggle through life and you got to persevere. You know, you got to be steadfast. But you have hope. That's why you keep moving. You can sell your soul and reap the consequences of that, and that's never going to be good. I mean, we're not people who are dead inside, who can't feel the wrongs we've done. I mean, that's why people come to be baptized in Acts chapter 2. They stopped the sermon and said, brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their hearts. We voted to kill the Son of God. What did we do? How did we get in this predicament? And you know, Peter had an answer because of the death of Jesus. He said, repent. Yeah, if you're voting to have an innocent man put to death, there's something wrong that needs to be repented of. And let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sins. Hope. Judas? He wasn't listening. I mean, he's living on this low level, this petty lust, and small-time crook. When he had opportunity to fellowship with the master of the universe, fellow who would rule heaven and earth and rule your soul and lead you down a better path. You know, what will you give in exchange for the whole world? People do that all the time. And you know what they settle for? Lots of times, little frail things that aren't going to be here long or they're gone. You know, and it's over. You need to respond anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?